The word of the Lord from Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation is the letter to the church in Rome that I just finished reading for you and serves as the basis of our theme for the fourth Sunday in Advent. Let the secret loose. Today, we finally arrive at the fourth and final Sunday in Advent. Today, we anticipate the arrival of our God. Today, we investigate the depths of this marvelous word and ponder eternity with him. And just like a passenger disembarking on a cruise with the pre-launch debriefing, just like the soldier standing in formation on the battlefield right before the bullets start flying, and just like a new employee in their first day orientation, we listen to these words intently, knowing that everything God says will have bearing on our journey to our eternal future with him. And today, the operative word is eternal. Now, reflect with me for just a moment. What in your life is truly eternal? I mean, will it survive the melting of the planets unto the new heavens and the new earth? Now, the world thinks eternity is just until death do us part. But that is but a moment in the blink of God's eyes. That never stopped the world from attempting to establish their personal eternity as if they were rich enough, political enough, and powerful enough to do so. Having traveled to Asia, Central America, and all around North America, I've seen that the world has erected statues that have outlived entire kingdoms as a testimony to their eternal figures. Whether it's Buddha, the presidents on Mount Rushmore, and soon to be Crazy Horse, or the Lincoln Memorial, the Glorieta La Minerva in Guadalajara, the magnificent Monumento a la Patria in Merida, Mexico, they stand as reminders of all that are held sacred, ever present, and never to be forgotten by the people that adore them in pilgrimages, photos, art, and by maintaining their pristine appearance. This is as eternal as it gets in this life. But is any of it eternal at all? Ozymandias, a poem written by Percy Shelley, says, I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two cast in trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies whose frown and wrinkled lip, a sneer of cold command, tell that its sculptor well those passions read which yet survive stamped on these lifeless things. And on the pedestal, these words appear. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare. The stones and level sands stretch far away. You have to imagine the power of this great and mighty king tens of thousands of years ago, because his monument to his eternal kingdom is as unfamiliar as his name to all of us today. Truly, nothing is eternal on this side of heaven. So our letter to the church in Rome stands in contrast to this humanism in its opening exhortation. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret long ago. The very long ages in that line is time eternal. And the revelation that God had for the world was an eternal secret from the people of this world who would seek to bring harm to those who would reveal it, so their humanist kingdom could reign instead of the eternal one in Christ. It started in the garden with the crafty serpent attempting to establish his brood of vipers kingdom by leading Adam and Eve astray. It happened with the prophets of Baal who sought to murder the prophets of Almighty Yahweh. It happened in Babylon when Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were cast into the fiery furnace and thrown to the lions with the hope that these faithful men of God would never speak of God's faithfulness to them. It happened to the disciples and apostles with such vicious ferocity that John was compelled to write in code for the comfort of the Christians and the deceiving of those who would use the power of the Roman Empire to crucify every Christian who proclaimed Jesus risen from the dead, soon to return and take us to the new heavens and the new earth at the end of days. It happened in the Reformation, when even the erstwhile leaders of the church put the penalty of death on any reformer that proclaimed that grace alone, faith alone, and scripture alone was sufficient for the salvation of the sinner. And it happens today in Africa, in Asia, where people are hunted down and killed for their faith. Europe, where people are arrested for preaching the gospel in the streets of London, and coming soon to a beloved American Christian community where laws are being enacted to prevent free speech, to silence the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Temporal kingdoms proudly proclaiming their abominations, hoping the secret of the eternal kingdom will never be revealed. Look, I don't know if you know it, but various online and YouTube Lutheran podcasters are revealing the secret of God's eternal kingdom and directing many to our church. They've done nothing less than share what the truth of our wonderful Lutheran doctrine is. Then people seeking the truth listen to them, are directed here with a desire to join, and some even want to become Lutheran pastors and serve in our parish vacancies. As verse 26 says, what was revealed even through the prophetic writings according to the command of the eternal God unto the submission of faith. Convinced and subsequently convicted by the power of the gospel and the certainty of the return of our Lord Jesus, people know God's secret and they want everyone to be ready with them for Jesus' return. I know about y'all, but I know I'm ready. I am ready to be done with the foolishness of this world. I've had it up to here, my hands above my head, since you can't see me, with the truth being censored and lies being promoted to the financial benefit of those who seek to destroy the church. And I have taken about all I can take for the foreseeable future. But when I see text like this, I realize we were never supposed to bear those burdens. We were never supposed to save the world and make it a better place by controlling the politics and governance of our community. We were never supposed to be taken seriously for the sake of what we know to be faithful and true. We were always the next step in a greater culture war that was won even before the first spiritual dart was ever fired by the evil one. That's the real eternal secret. God has this. He crushed the devil's head before we even knew there was an evil one prowling around looking for someone to devour. He already vanquished every kingdom that ever took his people hostage and already freed them before they knew they would be slaves. He even raised us from the dead before we knew we were dying. That's the secret. All that needed to be done was accomplished in the future, as certain as already having been done. And so is the eternal reality that he is about to come. Not just about to come, but certain to come, and certain to be here before everyone who will know him even believes in him. So, our mission is clear. Tell everyone, let the secret loose, because his children are already adopted for salvation. We simply need to find them, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring them in. Amen. Now may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.